You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. It's John Rabin here. This is episode 112. And I'm recording this a little later than I normally do because I took a nap, like an extra long nap after working. I was like, I'm going to take a little bit of a nap. I'm going to take a little bit longer. And my head did that thing, that statement that I hear people say when they want to be selfish, which is like, no, you know. I'm going to practice some self-care. Oh, so you're going to avoid responsibility so that you can fuck off. Like, you can call it whatever you want, but you just want to fuck off for a bit. That's fine, but don't justify it by calling it, you know, self-care. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, self-care is important. And so I'm going to sit here and smoke this joint. Look, just fuck, man, just get high. Quit. You know, it's like, I don't have a problem, but I do have to justify this. All right, man. I almost did this episode. I almost made this the conspiracy episode and just talked about conspiracies the whole time. But no, I'm not going to do that to you. Just to see if numbers went up. You know, the conspiracy episode, but that would attract everybody that I wouldn't want to listen to me, because I believe in almost zero conspiracies. Like, I just will shoot you down. Like, I believe very little. Like, I don't believe in conspiracies. I don't believe in ghosts. I pretend that I'm open to aliens existing, but in my heart I'm like, I don't think that they have ever been here. I think that they're either too stupid, they're not developed enough to build a spaceship to get here, or if they're smart enough to build a spaceship to get here, they're smart enough to go, let's not be anywhere around human beings. They're going to destroy us too. They are actually a virus. They even put it in that movie, The Matrix, that they just love to pretend is real. So I don't believe in a lot. So, but I just had read somebody genuinely posted on their Facebook, a Facebook friend of mine, to sound off that they absolutely do not believe in the QAnon conspiracy. And I'm like, you don't have to say that you don't. Most people don't think that celebrities are Satan worshipers who kidnap children for blood sacrifices. Like, most people don't believe that. You don't have to tell people, hey, I'm not a flat earther. Yeah, most aren't. So hey, everybody, I think the earth is round. And that Satan worshipers aren't controlling this planet from the shadows. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that Bigfoot is alive with the Loch Ness Monster. There's a lot I don't believe, and I wanted to let everybody know here where I stand on Santa Claus. All right, I know that you've heard things from lots of children, but I want to tell you that I personally do not believe Santa Claus is alive today. I think he's dead. or doesn't exist. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that. And was he ever alive? Sure. Whatever. Man, I... What was the thing that happened today? Oh, I'll get into that in a second. But I was leaving work and I was putting on... I've got these... Those sleeves you can wear to protect yourself from the sun, and for some reason, you know, I guess it for pressure, for support. I don't know why some basketball players and professional sports players wear them, but I wear them when I ride my scooter now, because it's the sun is a fucking beast, and I'm tired of just getting more and more sun on my arms. So I'm putting my sleeves on, and one of my coworkers, who's a friend of mine, like, saw me, and she's just like, and I'm like, it's to protect myself. She's like, I'm not, you know, I'm withholding judgment. That's what she said. And I had to explain to her, look, it's getting worse. And also, before I bought these sleeves, my LeBron sleeves, I had to roll my sleeves, my t-shirt sleeves up to expose my shoulders. So if I was going to get sun, I was going to get sun all the way up to the shoulders. And the reason I did that was because my fiance told me that she would not marry someone that had a farmer's tan. And I explained that to my female coworker, friend of mine, and she said, it's a smart girl. So, you know, game recognized game. And it was a nice validation to, oh, now, see, this is why I listen to my fiance. And I mean, I may argue against her ideas, and then I always end up going with them. It's a cycle, I've noticed. I either immediately agree to it, because I don't have the energy to fight it. Or, you know, and she's even explained to me, no, see, this is what you do. I give you an idea. You fight me on it. You reject it outright. You get defensive about it. You give me a bunch of reasons why. And then I just keep coming back at you. And then eventually you relent and it makes your life better. And it irritates me that she's correct, because that's exactly what I do. And but luckily it all just keeps working out, so I'm going to continue to fight it, because sometimes I think I'm correct, and you know, I don't have to, you know, sometimes I win the argument and we don't do the thing that wasn't what I thought was smart. And the problem is that because she's a woman, she remembers the times that she's right. And because I'm me, I don't remember the times that I've been right. I don't keep it in a file. So I don't have examples. Which is why I think dudes like me lose a lot of arguments, because we don't keep up with our paperwork or mental paperwork for fights, because we're too busy collecting sports data. You know, it's like I wish I could remember that time I was right last year, but instead that file folder is filled with running back stats from just the Tennessee Titans. Like, it doesn't make any sense that, you know, that I've got, and also the data that I have stored because of, you know, that have become negated because of the existence of Wikipedia. There's no reason to remember all the movies that Ed Norton has done. There's no reason to know, you know, all that stuff. It's, you can just look it up. I don't know. Oh man, what an exciting time in life where performers like myself go, hey, what could I do on Twitch? It's a really odd time. I don't know. I don't know if I can go back to stand-up comedy, to be honest. I don't know if that's going to be, who knows when that's going to be. But I've gotten comfortable not having to be nice to an audience. I'm used to not being around one. I'm starting to get used to it. And I'm like, hey, I don't have to worry about offending people to their face. Now I can do it this way. And for the most part, nobody lets me know that they disagree with me. It's great. Because the people who listen to this and continue to listen to this have... You guys find me entertaining. You don't find me to be a prophet. And I appreciate that. And that shows intelligence on your part. You let me be me and you let me just talk shit for half an hour. And it's like, well, I feel better because he talked shit. Because I want to talk shit and I don't feel like going on social media. I'm going to listen to this podcast and, do laundry or whatever it is you do. And I appreciate that. But... Man, I do love doing this every week, and I just don't know if I don't know if I can get back to having to be nice to a group of people. I'm perfectly fine with connecting with individuals. I do like individuals, not a fan of people. So this is what I wanted to talk about, because I get... You know, since I'm furloughed, I work a little bit for a friend of mine, sort of a volunteer work type scenario, but I don't have a full-time job. And I've signed up for those different websites, or I did early, and then I haven't maintained it, and it's fine. It doesn't, at this point, we're just whatever. Thank you, unemployment, but just kind of... seeing what's going to happen. You all know you're working from home or you're dealing with what you're dealing with, and we're all going through this shit, and it is strange. I'm right there with you. Anyway, new crop of scam emails, getting a lot of contacts of job offers, and it reminds me of when I was looking for work right before I moved to Austin. And that was in late 1996. I had started doing comedy. I would come up and do open mic at the Velveeta Room, but I was trying to look for a job to move here. So I was looking in the newspaper, because that's how see, the newspaper had classifieds kids, and classifieds, I think Craigslist before Craigslist. Yeah? Yeah. So I look in the newspaper, aka OG Craigslist, and there were job listings, and I didn't realize. It took me a couple of times to realize what a fake job listing was. Well, when was a pyramid scheme or a scam? And it took me a couple of them. So I went to one vague type of, I think the ad asked for, looking for rock stars or some kind of real bullshit, that I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm going to go to this one. So because I called and they acted like they were scheduling me, the person, the chick who answered the phone, told me when to show up. Like this, kind of for orientation or whatever, but acted like there would be an interview and this kind of thing, and it sounded legit on the phone. And then I went and there was a group of people. I was like, oh, there's a lot of us here. And then we all sat down and everybody everybody around me had a notebook and a pen and were like writing down notes as this guy who was balding and had a ponytail. Yeah, he is balding and he had a ponytail, and it was 1996. So it wasn't, it wasn't the 80s. I'm old, but not that old. So, like, I don't think that balding with a ponytail has ever been cool, but it certainly wasn't in the 90s. I'm not saying it was now, but we really made fun of assholes like that in the 90s. Anyway, so he's up there talking and explaining the way the program, the company works, and the way the program works, and people are taking notes. I'm the only one not writing shit down, because I immediately am confused as to why somebody thinks this is a company. And what it was this company was setting up franchises to sell imitation cologne and perfume. And I was listening, and what they wanted you to do was, if you couldn't rent a space, like if you just didn't have a bunch of money, you know, all those rich guys who go to pyramid scheme orientations to look for jobs from the newspaper. Anyway, you know, it's like, well, if you don't have the money to invest and rent space somewhere, like a retail outlet, you mean all of us? Yeah. Then what you could do is you sold perfume out of the back of your car. Not just perfume, imitation perfume. We weren't even selling the real shit. Yeah, so here's your fake cologne. Do you like CK? Yeah. Well, here's Calvin Klein-ish. Selling it out of a Ford Focus. The back of a Ford Focus. So it's a... I actually got up in the middle of it and I walked the fuck out while everybody else kept writing notes. Holy shit, did they... I wonder if in their notebook they actually drew a triangle in it. I wonder. So that was... And also, I knew... I had heard of other people who they... They were like... There was like a couple of years there where people were selling speakers out of the back of their cars. Hey, you want to buy some speakers? Come down to my Suburban. And it's like, no. I'm not going to go to your van and buy speakers out of the back of a car. They're not stolen. Oh, so they're shit. Got it. So it's not stolen merchandise. It's just off-brand copycat bullshit merchandise that you're getting, that you invested in, and then the person counted the money and ran the fuck off with it, and you're stuck there with about 20 woofers that you can't unload. All right, good for you. We're in the money. Can you imagine walking by someplace? Imagine if that actually worked, and you're walking by, and right next to a T-Mobile, there's a store that sells cologne and perfume, all of which you've never heard of, and it makes money? No. All right. So, I'm sorry. I've gone along. I've really rambled. I've rambled for almost 10 minutes without reading the actual email I got. I'm sorry. All right. So the email I got this time, I wanted to read it. It's funny because if you look at it in Gmail, it says it's from Tiffany Potter. But the email is brian@deantown.com. Oh, okay. Tiffany, a.k.a. Brian. Or is it Brian, a.k.a. Tiffany? Anyway. And then reply to lamplawfallison@yahoo. Wow. All right, guys. Anyway, this is the email. What the email... I'm not even going to go into it. Oh, yeah. Employment type, work from home, compensation, up to $2,400 a month. Holy shit, that's got to be fake. Quick start. You will start working right away. No fees. You don't have to pay any fees to begin working. Free on-the-job training. I'm at home. Are you going to come over? With a paid trial period. This won't take more than 2 hours of your time daily. Also, the working hours are flexible. All right, you guys. This is it. Only 2 hours a day. You make up to $2,400 a month. You don't have to leave your home to get trained. And what is it? Oh, it's merchandise will be shipped to your residential address. You will need to examine the shipments, repack it, take pictures, issue summaries, and forward the merchandise to customers. So you're going to receive goods, repackage them, and then send them to the customer. Instead of, you know, the merchandise is coming from a seller who couldn't, the seller couldn't just sell it to the customer right away. No, no. You're taking the merchandise from a seller and then repackaging it with different names on it and then sending that to the actual customer. The reason that that is that this is all merchandise that was bought with fraudulent credit cards. Somebody is buying a bunch of shit, then they're shipping it to you, and then you're shipping it to the to a customer. Like that's basically what it is. It's a credit card fraud. So that's how that, because the thing about it is that they're offering for you to make up to $2,400 a month, only working a couple of hours a day. If even people who handle drugs don't make that kind of money working 2 hours a day. Like, so this isn't even like merchandise isn't even like shady. Like it's probably garbage stuff. But like, even if it was drugs and it was a legit, if it was a legit drug dealing business, you wouldn't make that kind of money. So, but the reason that I bring it up, part of it is to, if you get an email that says, hey, about a repackaging merchandise and, you know, keeping track of it and then sending it to somebody else, just know it's credit card fraud and it's illegal. But this is the best. This is the reason I'm sharing it, is because the email started with, I located your CV. I don't know what a CV is. I've never heard that, a resume being called a CV or whatever, something listing. I don't know what a CV is. Anyway, on a bulletin board. You might as well have just said, I located your email on the internet, and I am eager to talk to you about a position in our organization. I suppose your background fits for the opening. I suppose your background. I guess you can. I guess you'll do. That'll do, pig. That's what that sentence is. That'll do, John. I suppose your background fits for the opening. It's like, I know immediately. By the way, I know it's a scam immediately when somebody says, you have the requirements, or that I was impressed by reading your resume. And I always, that's the number one red flag when I get any kind of emails. It's like, we've looked over your resume and we feel that you could fit. There's no possible way. Because I know what kind of bullshit resume I put on there that I just kind of haphazardly thrown up there. And the only thing listed on there is that I've washed dishes for 9 years. Like, I know, you know, with very vague details. Like, I didn't even fill it out because I hate resumes that much. It's such bullshit to me. To list a resume when, if I'm going to apply for a job, I'm going to have to fill their form out with all the information that's on my goddamn resume. You want me to fill it out twice? Fuck you. So I don't fill it out all the way, right? So for you to sit there and go, I'm really impressed with your management skills with all these dishes. Like, it just, I don't buy it immediately, of course. It's a red flag. It's like, you didn't read shit. So I just love that. I love that they think that I'm qualified to be duped into a credit card scam. Thanks. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tiffany/Brian. So I would say let's just wrap this shit up. See you later. See you next week. But I wanted to at least mention what, because this is technically a sobriety podcast, even though it's not, but it is, but it's not, but you get it. You guys are here every fucking week. I wanted to mention that I had for the first time in a while a thought where that I considered for a moment, probably about 10 seconds, and then was like, uh-huh, I know you. No. And it was regarding, you know, maybe I could, you know, maybe I could do a little THC in some fashion or another. Maybe I could vape it a little. Maybe I could get high a little, which is, really, John? You're going to get high a little? Didn't you do heroin a lot in your 30s? I did. And that's why I can't smoke weed. I've said that before, which is essentially the, you know, I can't smoke weed because it makes me want to do heroin. And because the whole idea is, it was one of the things I've tried when I was strung out trying to quit doing heroin. I thought, well, maybe if I just switch to weed and I just try to do weed. But the thing is that it also, because when I got high, I didn't enjoy it. Weed makes me acutely aware of all of my failures in life at once, which is not a great feeling. And I think that level of paranoia, the thing about that is that from what I've heard and what I've read in the years since that, you know, going on 10 years now since that, since when I gave it a shot, I knew the whole idea is, I think that because I didn't smoke weed very often, that whole level of paranoia and all that shit that happens, that's kind of some new, the more you smoke and get used to it, then that kind of goes away. Then it's just like the maintaining the level, and that's fine. That's whatever, man. That's great. But I don't think I will ever give up the urge to want to get higher because of, you know, and it's like, well, how could you get higher than this weed? Especially, you know, what you assholes are doing to weed nowadays and making it really fucking strong. But not just that, it's not heroin. You know what I mean? And I know what a getting high on opiates is. And it's just not the same. And it's like, you know, this, I don't like this when I want that. And it's just that much closer. So I can never do that. And it's interesting to get that thought again. And I haven't had it in a while where, like, you know, you probably could. You know, John, if only you hadn't kept doing that heroin, you could do weed. Why'd you have to fuck up weed? Why couldn't you put down the heroin? Well, I was an addict, but yeah, but now you can't do weed. But maybe you could. Enough time's gone by, John. You could totally give it a shot. And that's it. You know? And that's not anything saying anything negative about heroin. Yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff about heroin, but there's not anything saying anything bad about weed. Weed has its own issues. I have my own issues with weed. I've always called weed a gateway drug. You know, it's a gateway to becoming a hippie because you start smoking weed all the time. Pretty soon you're going, you know what? I'm tired of wearing socks. I'm just going to wear open-toed shoes from now on. You know what? You know, why do I got to shower every day? Maybe I could cover it with some kind of natural essence, man. Let my hair grow. And, you know, it's a gateway to becoming, friends don't let friends become hippies, is what I'm saying. So, you know, weed's got its own issue. It's got its own problems. But don't be fooled by the whole weed's a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug if you're already a junkie. If you've already have, if you already are an addict, don't think that, you know, oh, this will be a nice substitute. I've seen, you know, and I know I've discussed previously that I know people who have successfully quit hardcore drugs like meth and heroin by becoming a, you know, and then being just a pothead. And, but the thing is that there was no doubt in their mind that they could do that. And I think that, you know, if you've got a mindset and you're committed to it, you know, by all means, you know, but marijuana maintenance all day long. But I just wanted to mention it because I think it's important to know that even though I'm coming up on 8 years sobriety next month, officially, air quotes, that even, you know, that it is, you're going to get hit with thoughts. It doesn't mean that you're not doing something correct. That's the thing. It's just thoughts. Thoughts aren't real. They're just your thoughts. You haven't manifested them into actions. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're weakening. You know, your determination is going, or that you're headed down a wrong path. They're just, you know, it's just a fucking thought. And how you act on those thoughts is how, you know, that's, you know, and you, when you can recognize, when you, instead of impulse, immediately go, yeah, I'm gonna get fucked up, and, you know, I'm 46, this is a good idea. You can just kind of sit there and just hit it and go, I recognize you. You've been asleep for a while, but now you just go, hey, John, maybe we could, hey, fuck off. So, had that happen this week. So, I thought I'd mention it before we get out of here. So, yeah. So, just hang in there, you guys. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you're taking care of the people that you love. Keep in touch with them. Watch out, because no one's going to watch out for you. So, you got to CYA. Stay sober if you're a sober person. If you're not a sober person, stay sane. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Disconnect the telephone.